and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
How about that?
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, live coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated. Straight up, we're doing this for 36, make that 37 years in a couple of weeks, right? 37 years of radio. Who would have thought that I would start a radio at the age of 7 and now at the age of 44, I've had 37 years on the radio. Bottom line is, I've had a good time in 37 years, no doubt about that. Open phone lines around the planet. You can join us if you care, if you'd like to. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studio. What's the number? 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Well, Joe Smith Jr. may be a common name. When I was in the world of police work, we'd say something like, we have pull over a guy and say, last name Smith, commonly spelled. Bottom line is, Joe Smith is not a common fighter. No, no. He took it to Eleodor Alvarez last night and stopped him inside the distance. Of course, the former WBO light heavyweight title holder, a man that came to that convention in Panama a couple of years ago. And, of course, him and Dogbo, Isaac Dogbo, both those guys came to the convention. And both those guys lost their titles in their very next fight. So I guess the convention in Panama with Roberto Duran playing the timbales was jinxed for those two guys at least. Straight up, I had a great time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course. This is the Sunday edition, 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 211, the Dan Patrick Channel, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number one. We expect to spend some time, we will spend some time, with the retired HBO godfather Larry Merchant. Joe Merchant will be here, Joe Smith will be here, as will Frankie Yeager, the former UFC lightweight champion, a winner last night, of course, on ESPN. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Wow! Wow! Little East Bay Soul coming back from the break. Check them out on their website, eastbaysoul.com. Of course, one of the founding members of Tower of Power. In fact, the man that created the Tower of Power sound and arranged the horn section. Talk about Greg Adams runs East Bay Soul. So check them out, eastbaysoul.com. Straight up, wow, what a night of boxing, or what a day of boxing yesterday. Well, I take that back. There was some good and there was some bad. And of course, I'll get into them a little bit deeper later in the show because we will bring in the retired HBO godfather in a couple minutes. But real quick, Sean Porter was the winner last night, a 12-round almost shutout winner over a mark. Guy's name was Sebastian Formella from Germany. Came in at 22-0, surprisingly. Left at 22-1, not surprisingly. 10 KOs. Couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue. Guy was tough. That was about it. Joe Smith Jr., of course, I mentioned it earlier, stopped Eleodor Alvarez in the WBO light heavyweight title eliminator, 175 pounds. Smith can fight. That common name, don't be deceived by it. I sort of liked his attitude post-fight. We'll hear from him a little bit later as well. As far as the rest of the weekend's concerned, there was this one-punch knockout. Whoa, I mean like one-punch knockout. Dillian White was licking Alexander Povetkin like a stamp. I mean, he was beating him up, knocked him down twice in the fourth round, was just having his way with him, okay? But I guess he got a little bit too relaxed because Povetkin dipped to the left in the fifth round. He came with like one of those Mike Tyson-like uppercuts that like took a guy's chin away and just destroyed it and shot it up towards the ceiling. Basically, it was an uppercut that White didn't see. He was knocked out, concussed, unconscious. He was snoring before he hit the ground. Okay, and of course, after the fight, the stunning knockout, this upset, I think the guy was a 5-1 underdog to about Povetkin. After the fight, of course, Eddie Hearn, with no shame whatsoever, didn't really congratulate Povetkin. He was ticked off because Povetkin's win sort of takes Dillian White out of the WBC title eliminator title picture. So that sort of eliminates him. He doesn't have to fight Tyson Fury, so Tyson Fury can go on to fight Anthony Joshua. I guess there's no restrictions there. The bottom line is lots of politics. Everybody's making money, but we'll get into those results deep in the this hour and the next hour, of course, a two-hour edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Now we take it to the City of Angels and bring in, of course, the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, who knows something about retirement. Larry, why is it boxers can't stay retired?
Because somebody comes to them and says, you can make $10 or $20 or $40 million if you just come out for one more fight. That's a pretty big incentive at the top level of the game these days. And so we saw Martinez come out from Argentina, and after a 5 or 6 year retirement,
Sergio,
and we hear Oscar is now thinking about it, which is what, after a 10 year retirement? I don't know. Are those fights any fights they get into I want to see? No. Just as I didn't see the punch coming last night that knocked out Dillian White.
Ooh.
Because I didn't watch this show, unfortunately. But so it goes. These are exhibitions. They're marquee names that still resonate, and hope they can steal a big check.
You know, I use this analogy. An NBA season has 82 games. If you watch 82 NBA games, you probably get a higher level of entertainment percentage-wise for each event than you would if you watch 82 fights. But that one little, so I don't want to say became boxing impotent or anything like that, but I was just sitting there yesterday going, oh, ho-hum. And then there's this one-punch knockout out of the blue, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm a boxing fan again. I'm, like, jumping on the phone and telling people. So I guess...
Right. The anything-can-happen mode that is so deeply embedded in boxing is confirmed by these occasional miracle one-punch shots that shake up the world in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big part of the attraction of boxing, that no matter what's going on, something else can go on afterward. And that apparently is what happened last night. And we'll see the repercussions as things unfold.
You know, we're talking with the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. Of course, Larry, you just talked about the money guys can make coming back for one fight. Guys can get hurt in one fight. In fact, guys can get hurt in the gym. I've seen a lot of guys get hurt in the gym, and then they go on and have their fights and this and that. But I think the damage took place in the gym. And for De La Hoya to fight at 47 or 48 years old, wherever it is, There's this high risk involved, and I just don't see where, if you've already got all this money, and De La Hoya's not broke by any means, you and I know that, he's making money as a promoter. But to risk your health, especially after that ass whooping by Manny Pacquiao, that last fight he had, I mean, that should have been enough for him to say, you know what, go off and wait on your Social Security.
Well, I agree, but... boxers have always felt that they were risking their health. And the calculation comes in about, well, it's one more fight, I'll train, I look in the mirror, and I seem to be 10 or 15 years younger. They fool themselves. And things unfold, and the money is a big deal.
Yeah, okay, I can go with that, but then we look back at Oscar, and, you know, he did a couple of coke rehabs. I mean, he snorted half of Colombia, if not the city of Bogota, all by himself. So he's had a lot of cocaine issues over the years. He had the, how can I put this? I think he's risking a lot because he's a promoter and he's somewhat smart and he's got good people around him. He's making money, this and that. And I just think that there's a chance that he can come back and, you know, I've seen guys get clipped on his, you have too. You've seen guys that have gone into fights and come out of fights and they're not the same. And there's really, and that risk, I think, increases with age.
Check, check, and check. I agree.
Okay.
But who knows what's going on in Oscar's life or Martinez's life that propelled them to try this. They don't think they can be, they know they can be hurt, they don't think they can be damaged.
Okay.
That's what made them exceptional fighters in their times.
Are we looking at, Oscar's probably talking Mayweather, you think, but could Oscar be talking Canelo? Could he be trying to promote some super fight and step in and fight Canelo?
God, I hope not.
Yeah, I know.
Could he fight him? Could he fight the fighter that he promotes? I suppose anything is possible. I hadn't even thought that, which maybe makes it, puts it on the table also. Mayweather would probably be a better choice in terms of his health, but, I don't know. I don't know, and to a large extent, I don't really care.
You gotta, having recently had a colonoscopy, I would tell you this, watching Floyd Mayweather fight again would be like taking citrate of magnesia during a radio show. And I don't want to have to do that ever again. Godfather, stick around. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. We are live on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 211, of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel as well. The Godfather returns after the break.
When it's lights, camera, action, it's time to get the fans entertained. The fans want to be entertained. I mean, when I'm home, I'm like anyone else. I'm just normal. Spend time with my children.
Now, who's with me? I know you're in. How about you? You're in? You're in? You're in? I got the feeling, baby. Baby. Sometimes I'm up.
Sometimes I'm down. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports USA channel, as well as iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. We are blessed with the presence of the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant himself. And Larry, you know, I saw a little no shame in promoter Eddie Hearn yesterday after his guy, Dillian White, had got knocked out in a surprising fight, of course, after being in command over Alexander Povetkin, but being knocked out and then sort of afterwards pushing the immediate rematch. A guy that basically was still snoring, hadn't woken up yet. I'm talking about Dillian White, and he was pushing this immediate rematch. But that harkened me back to 1990 when Don King and Jose Suleiman tried to pull some crap like that over there in Japan when they tried to say they weren't going to recognize Buster Douglas as a heavyweight champion of the world when he knocked out Mike Tyson. Now, you remember there was a big lawsuit and arbitration, all that kind of stuff involved with that, and I think you played a part.
I did, but let me first say that this is a different situation in that if they have a rematch clause,
mm-hmm,
and they want to enact it, then they're entitled. That's perfectly legal, normal, and so forth, whether it has to be in the next fight or the fight after that. But back when Douglas beat Tyson, there had been in the late round where Tyson, who was behind, knocked Douglas down. But Douglas was up on his haunches at the count of two or three. He was perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. And then he stood up at the count of 8 or 9. After Douglas knocked out Tyson, maybe in the next round or the round after that, I don't remember, we had the upset of the century. Thereafter, I got on a plane to come back home later that afternoon, I believe, mm-hmm. because the fight was held in late morning in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And when I got home, I found out that Jose Suleiman, in all of his wisdom, here's a guy who loved being in Don King's back pocket.
Front pocket.
had tried to overturn a knockout. And the argument was that when they looked at the tape, that the knockdown of Douglas had lasted 12 or 15 seconds, whatever they said it was. And so, therefore, they were not going to take the title from Tyson, who was a money machine. That's what that was all about. He was supposed to fight Evander Holyfield in the next 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. So I run into Jose Suleiman very shortly after that at a fight, and I said, can you tell me if anything like that has ever happened in boxing history, somebody trying to overturn a knockout? And he says, oh, yes. I said, well, what was it? He says, I'll send you a letter.
I'm
still waiting for the letter, Pedro. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get it.
You know, I back to Douglas, and I'm willing to quote the manager, John Johnson, of course, my good friend before and after the fight. I mean, I reached out to these people about 6 or 7 months when I found out they were going to get the fight from Peyton Sherrod. Peyton said to me, you know, you might want to reach out to this guy, Buster Douglas. I said, well, you know, he's a bit of a dog. He goes, but he's going to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. And like Jack Fiske told me, the Hall of Fame writer, that you need to respect this guy and interview him. He's going to fight for the heavyweight championship. So I interviewed him before and after, and John Johnson and I got into a bit of a relationship. But he said that when Buster Douglas got knocked down by Mike Tyson, this was his exact quote when he told me, F, I didn't think he had the heart to want to get up, period, quote. I mean, so he thought it was all over at that point in time. Of course, Buster surprised everybody, got up, and then went on to stop Mike Tyson. But and here's a Suleiman one. Suleiman got sued for $24 million by Graciano Roccagini when they took the title, the light heavyweight title, away from him and just gave it arbitrarily to Roy Jones. And when I saw Suleiman somewhere, I forget where it was, we were in Miami or somewhere at an airport, and I said to him, you're going to lose your ass. I said, you just can't go in and take this man's championship. And he goes, Pedro, I am Jose Suleiman. I said, okay. Yeah, like 6 months later, he was sanctioned $24 million, but $8 million, for his arrogance, he was sanctioned $8 million in punitive damages for being a turd on the witness stand. I mean, you got to be an idiot.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I agree.
No, well, but in any event, it turned out that there was an arbitration mm-hmm. in Newark, New Jersey, over the whole issue of whether Douglas had been knocked out before
Tyson was
Tyson had been knocked out, and therefore it should not be registered as a knockout. So I was one of the witnesses, and the words I said that I think had the biggest impact were, these guys are just trying to steal outside of the ring what they lost inside of the ring. And We also had a montage of knockouts to show that there were some knockouts that were 10 seconds, some that were 12 or 13, some that were 15. There's no ruling in the books about that it's supposed to be a 10-second count. It's a 10 count. In any event, Tyson and the boys lost their bid to steal outside of the ring what they had lost inside of the ring. And Douglas went on to fight Evander Holyfield.
And I think they blackballed. The referee was an honest guy, Octavio Moran. I met him several times, and he was I thought he was a straight guy. I really thought he was a straight guy. And he wasn't bending for them no matter what. He said that the fight was a knockout win for Buster Douglas, okay? But they sort of blackballed him afterwards. He didn't get the big fights anymore, things like that. And that was sort of, you know, for being honest, only in boxing, maybe not only in boxing, but in boxing you get burned for being honest.
It can happen.
It can happen. All right, so Tyson and Roy Jones are moving this thing up. Now they're going to score this. How do you score an exhibition? I don't want to look up the... I can define an actual exhibition for you. It's an athletic event that isn't meant to be competitive. It's meant to showcase the athletic skills of both people involved. So how can you score an exhibition?
Listen, you can score it.
Okay. And make it count?
You know what? They can make the rules up. They can wear 20-ounce gloves. They could wear football helmets. I don't know. It's an exhibition. Will it sell? Probably. Will I watch it? I'm sorry to say no. I don't watch those things. I didn't watch Ali when he had a mixed martial arts fight. Exhibition in Tokyo. I wasn't interested then. I'm not interested now.
And that was sad because Ali took a lot of punishment to the legs, and of course legs were his key to movement and things like that. He couldn't move anymore. Bottom line is he was an old man. And of course Muhammad Ali, may he rest in peace. Now, upcoming on the boxing schedule, Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko. Lomachenko took $500,000 pay cut to make the Lopez fight happen. That makes me feel sort of good.
Why?
Because it's going to happen. In other words, if one guy's willing to make some type of a concession, in other words, to make this fight happen, he realizes he's not going to make $3 million with anybody else, not Lomachenko right now. And he can take all that USSR money or all that money from over there and make some money from across the pond. But he can get, if he take $500,000 less here and get the fight with Lopez, which he thinks he's going to win, and lodge makers think he's going to win at 3.5 or 4-1, it's a good deal for Lomachenko.
Well, it's a good deal to get out there. I think there's more been written about him than he's fought. And if he's a fighter, he's got to get out there and fight. And in these times, maybe understand that he's not going to make as much money as he might have in better times, but he's still going to make good money. He's still the favorite. And he's got to get out there and show us what kind of stuff he has. That's a fight I would want to see.
Okay, here's a fight you're going to want to see. Maybe. I think I want to see it. Jose Ramirez and Victor Postal going to go on ESPN August 29th for the WBC and WBO 140-pound title. These guys, Jose Ramirez can really fight. Postal can fight a bit, so that's going to be competitive. Godfather, what do you have planned for the weekend?
Same old, same old. Is this the weekend? One of the only ways I know that this is the weekend is when I get a call from you. But I don't keep track of time these days. I'm scribbling something and having my grandkids over and reading the papers about what's going on in the world and like that.
The life of the Godfather. Say hello to the God, Mama. We'll talk next week, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pedro.
the one, the only, Larry Merchant, exclusively on Sports Byline.
What happens, happens.
Think about the bad things I try not to do. Come on, sugar, and think, yeah, about the good things.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Started it off right there, rocked him. Sends a go.
Fight!
Domi and Guida. Oh, head kick.
Guida's pace is relentless. 45.
Get him, the head kick and the takedown.
Maynard
and Edgar putting on a show.
Outstanding.
Wow.
Amazing that Frankie Edgar was able to recover from that at all.
And he's got Maris.
What is it? Frankie Edgar, former lightweight champion of the UFC. Yesterday I wrote him off. I said he was toast. He was gonna get destroyed by the much younger Pedro Munhoz. The guy had, Munhoz had over 800 Brazilian jiu-jitsu matches. 800 matches, I kid you not. This guy's a phenom. I thought this guy was like, good Lord, like the next... Anyway, he wasn't the next coming of God as far as MMA is concerned. And of course, Frankie Edgar proved that last night. We'll get to Frankie Edgar in a little bit. But the decision was 48-47. That's three rounds of two one way. And then it went three rounds of two the other way. And then the one judge had it 49-46 for Frankie Edgar as well. So the bottom line is Frankie Edgar ends up winning this fight. A big fight for Frankie Edgar, no doubt about it. 48-47 twice. Take it back. And the one judge had it 46-49 the other way for Munhoz. So one judge saw it 4-1 for Munhoz. The other judges saw it 3-2 for Frankie Edgar, the former lightweight champion, now fighting at, that was 155, now fighting at 135 pounds. Of course, he tested his wares at 145. He came down to 135. I said to myself, this guy's nuts. He's cut too much weight. It's going to be, this is it. I mean, and he went out there last night, and at 38 years old, he looked fantastic. I mean, he really looked good. He threw combinations upon combinations upon combinations, punches and bunches. Boxing 101 all night long. Boxing 101 all night long. In fact, you know, if you watch these guys that are doing the boxing 101 type of thing, those guys are the guys that are prevailing now. Those guys are the guys that are the dominant fighters. Yeah, you can shoot and make your moves to go down under and this and that, but that's all a sort of like a distraction for the stand-up fighting. This guy's a great stand-up fighter, no doubt about that. Frank Yeager, a winner last night, a split decision winner.
Ladies and gentlemen, after five rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for decision. Eric Cohen scores the contest, 48-47, Edgar. Sal Amato scores it, 49-46, Munhoz. And Derek clearly scores the contest, 48-47, for the winner by split decision, Frankie the Answer Edgar.
He's got a little bit of a limp, but congratulations, Frankie, on a huge win in a career full of them. How do you feel about those crazy 25 minutes, man?
We're going to call that a Jersey Shore pimp limp, my man. Johnny, man, it's good to be on the winning side. That was a hell of a fight. Pedro's a stud. I heard a lot of MFers barking that I'm old, I'm slow. I definitely should prove them all wrong. I still got some fight in this tank, baby, and we're going to make a run at 35. He was number five, and that might put me right in the top five. Three-way classes. I'm showing I could compete with the best at 38 years old. I don't want to hear nothing from anybody.
Yeah, I think that this performance will go a long way in terms of silencing some of those doubters. But I have to ask, over 25 minutes, I mean, you look great physically. How did you feel like your body was able to compete down in this bantamweight division?
If anything, better than I was at the other weights.
Wow.
I didn't carry any other weight. I mean, he chipped me some good leg kicks. I believe I checked a bunch of them, but I'm hoping his leg hurts a little bit too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, John, when this is done, it's kind of silly that we got to be all far apart. I'm going to come give you a hug, baby.
I know. I want to come give you a hug as well. In terms of your championship trajectory, a lot of people who listen to you here during Fight Week heard you say, I'm not here to take part. I want to make a run at 135 pounds. And to do that over the number five guy in the world, I got to think this opens up a lot of opportunities for you now.
Yeah, man. You know, it's got my feet wet. You know, I think the sky's the limit for myself. I didn't look slow in there. Pedro's a top dog, and that makes me a top dog. TR, baby. TR. We back.
You're definitely back, and I know your boys and your wife are out here in Las Vegas, so you can go give them a hug. But the future may be in the Hall of Fame. The present's still very relevant. Congrats, my man, on a big win.
Yeah, I just want to thank my team, Chris, Mark, Steve, Ricardo, Ali, everybody back home, my wife, my kids, I miss you. I love you. Can't wait to see my daughter. I've been FaceTiming every day.
Yeah.
My boys are going to celebrate tonight. Some cheeseburgers.
There he is. There is only one Frankie Edgar, and he gets his 18th UFC win tonight over 25 hard minutes against Pedro Munhoz.
24-8-1 overall, of course, while the young man, Pedro Munhoz, lost for the fifth time, all decisions. This one is a split decision, but I think he had lost three or four prior split decisions as well. So he's only lost by decision. They've all been close. And last night was close. You could have made a case for Munhoz winning that fight, as one judge did, but 49-46, I don't think so. Maybe a 3-2 either way. There was one round there that could have won either way, flip a coin, and that's the way the fight went. Of course, Frankie Edgar, the former champion, getting the call there. Mike Rodriguez lit up a guy by the name of Morrison Parancino. It was a KO, elbow and punches, 2 minutes and 17 seconds in the round number one. These guys were fighting at 205 pounds. I'm not thinking Mike Rodriguez is the next John Jones, but of course, the UFC light heavyweight title now is vacant with John Jones moving up to heavyweight, or at least vacating his title because of the fact he wasn't making the money that he wants to make. In other words, he was getting a reported $5 million per fight. That wasn't enough for John Jones because, you know, John Jones, when he fights, if they're getting 200,000 people on pay-per-view, that's a whole lot more than $5 million for his end, at least I think, you know, because Dana White, being the pimp that he is, of course, we'll get to Dana in just a minute. Dana talking about Oscar De La Hoya and things like that. But Dana's Dana, and Dana still is the pimp of all pimps, in my opinion. There's no doubt about it. Anybody that can, you know, get... Listen, he had a mark last night. He brought in a mark, and the mark won. Her name was Shayna Dobson. She was like 3-4. She came in at 3-4. Now she's 4-4. She came in against this... She was put in against this monster from... Kazakhstan, Maria Agapova. I mean, she was a monster. This girl was like the Mike Tyson of MMA. And I was scared for the poor girl. Shayna and I said to myself, man, this doesn't look good, you know. And then Shayna may be tough and this and that, but she had that journeyman record, and she was that journeyman they were bringing in to get lit up. She was being brought in to lose, okay? And what did she do? She turned the table. She was getting beat up in the first round, so I sort of turned away from it. I said, oh, God, I don't want... Because, you know, even why, I just didn't want to see it. But guess what? She turned it around, round number two, TKO punches, good punches, and she stopped Marina and Mariah, and of course, at 138, round number two. That was the upset of upsets, the biggest upset in MMA women's history since Holly Holm lighting up Ronda Rousey. Remember that? Yeah, Holly Holm boxed her ears, no doubt about that. Ronda being the one-dimensional trick pony that she is, of course, she had that arm bar, and if you could avoid the arm bar, you were cool. You could beat her up. You could box her. You could get her from the outside. Of course, everybody that avoided the armbar beat Ronda Rousey. Of course, Ronda turned to the world of professional wrestling, and she made herself unwelcome there. Of course, I think she's retired. She talked about having a kid. More power to her. I don't know how much of her personality is really her. I mean, her on-camera persona is really her. Because, you know, I've had her on the show a few times in the past before she was really famous. And she was somewhat humble. And she liked, you know, the accolades that I would throw at her, and when I would challenge her on a few things, she would sort of come back in somewhat of a combative way. So she was a good guest to have on. She was no walkover, no doubt about that. But, you know, as she sort of like grew in stature, so did her head, and so did her hat size. And at one point in time, I mean, she was talking so much smack, she was getting me sick. Anyway, the bottom line is, she is retired. May she retire. She was an epic fighter for the world of mixed martial arts as far as women was concerned, because she brought in the big money. Of course, Chris Cyborg Santos was the champion for a long time. Nobody wanted to fight her. Nobody wanted to fight her. No, they didn't. They even invented a 135-pound weight class to not fight her, okay? 135 was not her weight. They wanted Chris Cyborg Santos to come down to 135, which meant she would have to cut off both breasts and both arms to make it, and she couldn't fight without arms and breasts. Bottom line is, Chris Cyborg Santos, of course, cut by the UFC after they conned her into taking that last fight on her contract. Of course, she wanted the rematch with Amanda Nunes after getting knocked out in that fight where they had to reschedule it in a week. What happened? She was supposed to fight in Vegas. So she's cutting down from 165 or 170 pounds to make 145. At the weigh-in, and of course, this is about a week away, and then they find out that they're going to transfer the John Jones fight from Nevada to Los Angeles because of the fact that Jones couldn't pass the drug test by the Nevada State Athletic Commission regarding Flintstone vitamins, a.k.a. steroids. So anyway, they move the fight to L.A. She has to get in a station wagon or a van and, you know, lose weight. And it's not pretty losing weight. When you lose weight the way these people lose weight, we're talking losing weight from both extremes. You know where I'm coming from? I don't want to go into depth there, but from both extremes. And, of course, she ended up getting knocked out in the blink of an eye by Amanda Nunes, and I thought that was a bit of a fluke, if there ever was a fluke, and they should have had a rematch. So Dana White ends up conning Chris Cyborg Santos into taking this one fight with this girl that she ended up beating, and then she said, and then Dana White says, guess what? You're cut. I don't want you anymore. I'm not going to re-sign the contract. I mean, Dana White is such a piece of work. He is such a piece of work. And speaking of Dana White, Oscar De La Hoya, we talked earlier about Oscar De La Hoya, and I mentioned the fact that he snorted half of Bogota, at least half of Bogota, maybe Bogota, Cali, and Medellin all together. I kid you not. I mean, he had a bad, bad coke problem, and I never understood it. Then I sort of understood it because, you know, he went, remember the hooker I talked about that he was with, the what was her name again? Anyway, the bottom line is, he was involved with a hooker, a Russian hooker, in like 2007, 2008, and he was getting dressed up in women's clothes, and she was bringing sex toys with her that amounted to, I don't want to get into it, but there were plugs of some kind, so you just use your imagination there, and sex with being sex involved with a man. Anyway, so she dressed Oscar up in all these different outfits, and Oscar took camera, took pictures. I mean, what was he thinking? I mean, coked out or not, man? I mean, good Lord, you're taking pictures of yourself wearing a bra, you shave your legs for the picture. I mean, Oscar went all out. It wasn't like Oscar was like a fake drag queen. Oscar was a real drag queen, except for the little Saturday Night Shadow on one of those pictures where he was wearing the wig. You know, he sort of looked like a girl. He did. He looked like a girl. I mean, it was Oscar De La Hoya. And I remember getting the pictures before TMZ got them. I did. I got them before TMZ. And I didn't know what to do with them. I was scared. I had ringtalk.com. There was a website. And I was scared. I didn't know what to do with him because, you know, I mean, Oscar will sue anybody. You come out with something that's and he sues first, and you've got to defend, and whether you're right or wrong, and we'll get to that in just a second, you still got to come up with some money. So I didn't want to go there. So I sent the pictures via Federal Express or overnight mail to Emmanuel Stewart in Detroit, Michigan. Of course, he's a former trainer of Oscar De La Hoya. And Emmanuel looked at the pictures, and I even sent I even put a magnifying glass in with the pictures. I put like three pictures in there of Oscar and drag, and then I put the magnifying glass in there, and I told, you know, Emmanuel to look over the pictures. So Emmanuel's looking over the pictures with his secretary. He's late now. His secretary, and I said, "Is that him? Is that him? Let me call you back. Let me call you back." So he calls me back. He goes, "I don't know how to say this." I said, "What do you mean, how to say? Is it him or yes or no?" He goes, "Yeah, that's him." So I said, "How do you?" I'm positive. He goes, "It doesn't look like." And he goes, "That's his body. There's no doubt about it. That's his body." I said, "Okay." I said, "He just shaved his legs and he shaved his chest and all that kind of good stuff." He goes, "I guess so, but that's Oscar De La Hoya, no doubt about that." So I put the pictures up, and then before you know it, TMZ had the pictures and everybody else had the pictures, and Oscar was, you know, denying it. And then this chick, I can't remember her name right now, Dravnow, something like that. Anyway, she takes him to, here's her name, Milana Dravnow. She takes him to court because Oscar says the pictures were altered. They were faked. They were photoshopped. There's no way Oscar De La Hoya is going to dress up like a woman and wear a wig and wear girls' panties and garter belts and nylons. And do I need to keep going and corsets and, yeah, God. Okay. Anyway, there's no way Oscar De La Hoya would do that. So he filed suit against this lady, Milana Dravnow. And guess what? She countersued him. And he settled for $20 million. $20 million. Holy, I know. That's what happens when you mess around with cocaine and sex. Because guess what? The last thing you're going to do with a woman if you're snorting cocaine is perform well. Unless you're taking something else, because cocaine is like the anti-performance drug. You can watch all the Superfly movies you want, but that just doesn't happen in real life. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it, your inside look in the world of boxing, MMA, and in this segment, a little cocaine. Check it, this is Ring Talk live on Sports Byline.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have they have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
Mr. Dana White! Wherever you are, I have a hit list, but I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Hello, killer!
Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 57 and a half minutes past the hour. Hour number one of two today live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, of course, Channel 211, of course, the Dan Patrick Channel. I can go on and on. We've got all kinds of different internet platforms. Bottom line is, you're listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Of course, there's a million things you'd be doing right now, but you're tuned to a Sports Byline production. Straight up, we come to you live every Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline. And, of course, we come to you always, 24/7, at anchor.com. That's right, anchor.com. Check out the Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcast. They're all there. Yesterday's show will be up in a couple of minutes. This show should be up in a couple of hours. Bottom line is, we're checking in, knocking out all bumps. Check out our podcast at commercial-free at anchor.com. That's the Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, podcast. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in this Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, we'll delve into the world of boxing, MMA a little bit more, talk about Jessica McCaskill and her big upset last week over Cecilia Brakus. Of course, Brakus coming in at 36-0, was going to eclipse Joe Lewis's record, allegedly, as far as title defenses and that kind of stuff was concerned. Well, guess what? That didn't happen. And the young lady who's like she's a high-tech genius. She's a genius. So straight up, she's smart and she can fight. So we'll hear from her a little bit in hour number two. And of course, Joe Smith Jr., he's not uncommon. He is a good fighter. I mean, a real good fighter. I mean, that common name, no. He can really fight. We'll hear from him in hour number two as well. Of course, he was a winner last night on ESPN. ESPN going yesterday, Showtime Championship Boxing going yesterday, as did The Zone. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number one of two live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned, hour number two after the news. I'll get my act together. Hour number two after the news. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios. Stay tuned.